Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hip-hop array, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. A classic Klopp performance by Liverpool and a classic Mourinho win for Spurs. It's Monday, 23rd of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Bearer.
And I'm Peter Underwriter.
What happened there then?
Well, I mean, we'll have to talk about that for a start. Pete Bearer as in Paul Bearer. Is that what you're going for?
I think that's what I was going for, Vish, yeah.
On the day The Undertaker retired from professional wrestling to spend more time with his family, probably.
Yeah, probably more time wearing problematic T-shirts as well.
Oh no, he's not gone bad, has he?
He's about as Republican as a wrestler is.
Well, I mean, you can vote Republican and still not be a naughty little sausage.
Yeah, no, he's one of the naughty ones.
Well, anyway.
If someone lives in the undead with the undead for so long, they're going to pick up some bad habits, aren't they?
I was going to say, it doesn't matter what I say because everyone's dead. No, Paul. That's not how it works. Peter.
Hello.
Big news.
Paul.
My Marcus.
He didn't think that's what he said. What were you saying about... You've bought some accessories for your scooter, is that right?
I bought some accessories for my scooter?
Yeah, like a number plate and stuff.
No, I saw a number plate for sale in Watford. It said, like, fuck number 10. And I was like, that very much fits my brand.
It does.
It will upset and enchant my fan base.
Your fan base.
My fan base.
Who are these people?
Three people.
Uh-huh.
My parents.
Three people.
Yeah.
My parents.
Yeah.
Okay. There we are.
No further questions.
Paul Bear is not one of your parents,
no,
okay?
No, he's not, no.
But it is believable, of course. Vish, how are you?
Very I'm very well.
You're still going on about Paul Bear?
Worth reading up on how old his wife was. Good. Continue, Vish.
Really young or really old?
Really young.
I think
very much not a grave robber, more a cradle snatcher.
Was she young enough to be on Liverpool's bench?
Yes, football. We're talking about football.
Paul Bearer, young carer. Yeah.
Fish. Yes,
the last.
He brought it out of it.
Yes,
that's his doing.
You see that? He's trying to start a movement, and it'll soon be a revolution. And it is one we don't want. Okay. Crying out loud. Liverpool, very impressive, Vish.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we start with that?
We should. We'd be right to, because I think we all went into this weekend thinking, ooh, Leicester, do something. Yeah,
yeah.
Liverpool have no one at the back. I forgot they could play other people in defence. Yeah. I thought, no, you're not allowed to, like, a bit like your FPL side. You can't put them there.
Yeah,
they don't go there.
Yeah, people say, are they on the? It's a minor setback. Being convincingly beaten by the champions, who are obviously the best team in the league. Still, it was a reminder, wasn't it, Petey? That all this chat of, oh, couldn't and Leicester, what about Spurs and Cora, right?
Yeah,
let's put a blooming marker down.
Well, like for Brendan Rodgers, is obviously a very focused manager when it comes to playing the team on the field, and which you should be as a manager, play the team on the field. Indeed,
yes.
Leicester, I don't know why they didn't focus on the left, because obviously Liverpool were in bits down that side, and I don't know why they didn't do that. And obviously Milner was out there just
apparently they did target Milner. That's what the chat was.
They didn't look like they were. They seemed fine on that side.
It's because James Milner is a very robust, competent, industrious, also creative player. At 34, I think he's 34, he still ticks all those boxes, Vish. I mean, I think there was a moment where he was playing left back, then he's moved into midfield, and he was showing again that sort of functionality. But you can't just say that about him. He plays a lovely through ball. There is that creative spark to his game as well, or touch.
I can hear the cogs turning in your head,
yes.
And you're thinking ahead to next summer, aren't you?
I am now.
Yeah, he is. His
we could do with him.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah,
we are running
that.
Low on right backs. Yeah, it was a pretty stellar performance from all of them, and for Milner in particular. You look at him and you think that, you know, they always talk about players like Gary Neville or Robbie Savage as players that, you know, opposition team, or rather opposition supporters hate, but your own team love. Mm. Milner somehow brings those two worlds together, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's hard not to have respect for not just his longevity, but the way he's playing in that team, utterly deserving of his place. And the fact that, you know, when there was an injury to Keita and they brought Neco Williams on to play on the right, play it right back and move Milner in the midfield. Yeah. Usually people move the other way.
That's right.
It's he was pretty incredible, and a fantastic performance from Liverpool as a whole. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yeah, the 64th unbeaten game at home for Liverpool. I mean, it's sort of Jose Mourinho-esque, isn't it? remember when he had that ridiculous home record, Mourinho? I don't know why I'm mentioning Mourinho at Liverpool. Sorry, Liverpool fans. But, it's hugely impressive. I mean, it is it's a record. The previous record ended by Leicester themselves in 1981, apparently, Peter. Not this time, though.
Yeah. Well, I think they have lost quite a few players, and Klopp obviously very angry at Sky Sports at the end of the match. I don't think Sky actually broadcast the criticism Klopp had for their own organ, so to speak. But, you know, Fabinho back in the side is really good. My prediction is that Van Dijk will return at the side and have some really high profile mistakes.
Do you think?
I think he will. It'll just be that kind. It's this kind of season where Van Dijk will return at the side and he'll just fuck it up. And then he will be lambasted. So going, we didn't need you, Van Dijk. We didn't need you. We've been all right without you.
Peter, after last week's performance, how are relations between you and Liverpool fans?
I'm saying nothing, Marcus, because it is not worth my Twitter mentions, quite frankly.
But good to see you doubling down.
Yeah.
The Donaldson doubling down, everybody.
Van Dijk, rubbish.
I think it'd be more likely, Vish, that he would come back and have a sort of a Vincent Kompany kind of effect. Remember that goal against Leicester, of course, when they won 1-0 when they were on the way to title? I could see that sort of thing happening with Van Dijk.
Well, if he comes back with comes back with a bionic leg.
Yeah.
And he can just like kick people out of Anfield.
every time he kicks the ball, it's like that Zidane volley in the Champions League final.
Yes, every single time, yes.
Every clearance is like that, into the top corner.
One of the things that I suppose will most hearten Liverpool fans from the weekend was that we always see this with big teams where they, especially when they have success over a 2-year period, and we can throw in the Champions League winning season from the season before that, as the way that Liverpool were building up to the title last year, is what happens is, because it happens for that period of time, everyone in the club gets on the same page.
Yep.
So while it will take certain players brought in a lot longer than others, you know, not everyone has hit the ground running the way that Diogo Jota has, for example.
Gosh, he's been
in
phenomenal.
Terms of signings. But then also, like, you see how their youth team seems to be, and the fact that it seems to work from the top down, where
it's hugely impressive.
The system that they play, you know, with the under-19s or whatever, is so applicable to the first team that they can just drop players in. And the fact that someone like Curtis Jones can play in that midfield against that Leicester side and look totally at ease. How is that allowed to happen?
It is magnificent. It reminds me a bit of when Guardiola was at Barcelona, and it was all throughout the youth side. You know, the right back who was playing for the, you know, the under-16s would be taught how sort of Dani Alves were doing it, which I think is a bit unfair. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot to take in for a young man, but you get the picture, you know. So they would, that idea of all sort of shuffling up one if somebody was to move on and so on. It is remarkable, and it shows you that they are still the team to beat. I mean, you know, Leicester have been bloody good this season, and this doesn't take away the fact that they've been good this season, Peter. But, you know, you've got Vardy on the break, you know, who's always a danger.
As soon as Leicester went behind, I just thought they're not going to get back in.
No, exactly.
They just look furious, Liverpool.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there was that Barnes chance sort of fairly early on where he was a bit unlucky. But, I mean, really, straight from the off, Liverpool would just looked dominant. And maybe they, I don't know if they needed a performance like this. I mean, it's always a welcome thing, of course, but it does feel like all these other talk of other sides, you know, to be that dominant against one of the teams, well, who were top of the league, it's, you know, who have been top of the league, of course, it's hugely impressive, Peter. And you think, do you think Liverpool, you know, are they on for another win? Do you think they're another title win, Peter?
Another title win?
Yes.
Well, the back only teams titles. Seem to be interested in matching them is dear old Spurs, so we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, we certainly will. But I mean, Leicester, you know, it's not terrible. Vish, of course, as I say, they've had a good season, but, you know, they'll be. Do you think they'll be disappointed that they never imposed themselves really on the game? I mean, I know Liverpool didn't let them, but old brother Brendy will be, you know, he would have wanted a bit more perhaps going to Anfield.
Yeah, I think so. But then did that not feel like Leicester hitting their head on that ceiling?
Maybe.
I wonder if this is just the way it's going to be and if they're going to be okay with that. That feels a bit, I don't know, that sounds quite patronising, but I mean it in a sense that to get to that next level, they know they've got to spend a bit of money. And you know, they have bought players in and they've recruited really well, but sometimes you do actually need to go and spend that extra 20 million to get a proper world beater in.
Yeah.
You know, someone like Cengundur, for example, very, very good player. Has someone who's done well in the flashes that we've seen of him. Certainly came on and changed the game at Arsenal when they won at the Emirates Stadium. But should they be really, you know, if to get to that next level per se, they don't really need to be looking at cast-offs from Roma, do they? They probably want to go in and grab someone off a team.
Yeah.
And they're not quite in the space to do that. And I think they're probably okay with it. But then at the same time, maybe they're satiated by that win, you know, in you know, 5 or so years ago now, and this is just the way they're happy to be, being a Champions League club. And probably once they establish themselves as a top four, top five club over a few seasons, maybe then they can think, right, well, we've got the base around us to do
it. Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, if you offered Leicester City fans fourth this season, they'd probably take it.
Yeah, but then you see Evans doing what he does in this match, and he's like, oh, yeah, possibly could have played a bit better.
He's not had a great time of it of late for Northern Ireland and Leicester. A bit of a shame, really, for Evans. But he's been such a stalwart for that side, you know, so you can't have it. But you, yes, that, don't do that.
Don't do that. All it takes is a bit of concentration. He could have conceded 2-1 goals, bless him.
Yeah, well, luckily never.
Luckily never.
But yes, Liverpool, they're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Annoying, that, isn't it?
It is annoying. Another side from Liverpool scored 3 goals on the weekend as well. It was Everton, of course. Name me another side from Liverpool. They beat Fulham. I mean, I tell you what, all joking aside, to go to Craven Cottage and score 3 goals, you've got to be on it, haven't you? you've got to be on it. 40 seconds. I thought to myself, look at this. Not only are Fulham not on pay-per-view, they're on the bloody BBC. And then as soon as the game started, I thought, put us back on pay-per-view.
on the Queen's channel, disgracing the nation.
Oh, dearie me. At least, well,
but that little girl with a dollop. Actually, by the black put them ball. Both in defence.
Oh no,
11 clowns to choose from.
Yay!
Oh dear me, what a bad start it was. I mean, it was an entertaining game, Pete. It was an entertaining game.
You look at that squad, and they've clearly got goals in them. They just cannot defend for shite. If there's ever a candidate for a team that just needs a defensively minded coach, it's them.
Yeah.
And I think Parker is a dead man walking the way through the way they're playing. But they've got the squad. They've got the squad to get them out of that. They just need a well-marshalled defence, which they don't have at the moment.
I think you're right. I think Fulham, they
could do with scoring more than half of the penalties.
That would help, wouldn't it? From a Manchester United fan. Scoring penalties helps.
We've got to do that jump penalty that Bruno Fernandes does. Yeah. You know, Ian Wright was calling for that to be banned. He said it was unfair on the goalkeepers.
That's quite an interesting debate to be had, though, with the amount of goalkeepers who are being punished for just moving off their line and wondering if that's part of it. Mm. I think it's fine because provided there's always, or there's rather, there's continuous forward momentum, then surely you're mitigating for any kind of stopping.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if they should maybe keep an eye on that as well, if they're going to keep an eye on the line.
Yeah, very true. I mean, when Ivan Cavaliero steps up to take the penalty, everyone's thinking, okay, they've not... Mitrovic was on the pitch at that point. I think he's not taking it, understandably. Obviously, Lookman is nowhere near that penalty. And so you're thinking, okay, well, it's already a thing at Fulham. And now it's an enormous... I mean, this is like, you're going to need that, the penalty... The who was it? The sort of mind coach that Gareth Southgate got in for the England players. You're going to need that for... And that's the last thing you bloody need.
I can't remember who tweeted it, but they did say, like, this is not just this season's problem. This has been happening for Fulham for such a long time. They score half of their penalties.
Yeah, it is a strange... It's crazy. A very strange situation. I mean, fortunately for... Well, I say fortunately, they still lost the game. But, I mean, they did score straight after. So, you know, I think if they'd have... If the penalty's missed and then maybe scored a little bit later, but, you know, the Loftus-Cheek, who made a difference when he came on...
Oh, they looked better after they made their changes, but why isn't he starting with those players?
Well, Mitrovic, I mean, he's had a long international break. He's obviously missed the penalty against Scotland, so maybe he's not on best form or whatever. I mean, it was interesting what Fulham were trying to do in the first half. I couldn't work out what the front line was. Mm. You know, You had Cavalier up there, you had Lookman, and Kenny was sort of sorted in. They sort of defended as a front three at times. I thought, why is Kenny there? So it was a little bit confusing. But I mean, it was... Fulham's problems in defence were summed up, really, in that moment where, under not that much pressure, Anderson just knocks it out for a corner. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that moment, Vish? And you sort of think to yourself, my goodness, like, again, you know... I forget who it was on commentary. They were saying, look, admire them trying to sort of play. Or maybe it was Danny Murphy actually in the studio was saying, look, okay, if you're going to play it out from the back, okay, fine. And that's what they try and do. But at times you do have to just go, right, we'll just have to play a little bit longer or direct because Everton are a better side and they're putting loads of pressure on it. I mean, do you see Fulham improving much at the back?
I mean, they kind of have to, don't they?
Well, they do.
They can't go further down. Can't concede more goals, surely.
Well, but at the bottom four, I would say that Fulham have got the squad. Like,
they have more goals in that side than one or two of the sides around them.
Well, so this is the thing that we're seeing with specifically Premier League football at the moment. It seems to be so open anyway.
Yeah.
That you kind of think, well, I mean, maybe you're just going to have to score more goals in them.
Well, that's
maybe that is just now...
Just concentrate on the thing you're good at.
Yeah, really embrace that fundamental side of it.
But it is so violently open, you know, when you play against Fulham. But of course, Everton are a better side. So you go toe-to-toe with them, if you like, in that kind of sense. You're probably going to come off second best. I mean, there might have been a chance towards the end, you know, get it back to 3-2. There's a bit of pressure, but they never looked like scoring that third goal.
No, but what I would say with Fulham in particular, I suppose it was always going to be a bit of an issue because Parker was talking about it since after the playoff final that he wanted to get more defenders in. And, you know, even the best managers in the world will find it hard to create, a coherent defensive structure just like that with only a few weeks' notice, let alone someone who's at the very start of his managerial career, really, in Parker. But... You know, I did wonder, looking at that, you know, Fulham, they're not actually in the relegation zone.
No.
Albeit because, Burnley have two games in hand.
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
And they're playing tonight, Monday night. And really, they beat West Brom. If they beat the teams around them, because there are quite a few teams who are really struggling this year, they'll probably be all right. And, you know, what do you take away from that game against Everton? You take away from the fact that, as Pete said, they attack them. They look like they've got a squad who can score goals, who can play some really, really good, engaging football at times.
Yeah.
They cut through Everton quite a few times. I know Everton aren't necessarily the best defensive side.
We're still a good... I mean, they're probably...
But they're a good side, yeah. So, I mean, there is enough there. And I say that as someone who thought Fulham were going to be down and out by December.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're in November now, Peter, and they're still out the rally zone at the time of recording.
Can I give props to Vish's click there with his fingers?
That was a good one.
It was so crisp.
Yes.
It's like eating an apple in a waterfall. It was just... Oh!
Eating an apple in a waterfall?
Like, that it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well done, Vish.
Well done,
Thank
Vish.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was great.
Everton will be pleased with Richarlison's return, and also with the continuing good form of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which is 15 goals in 16 appearances for club and country. It is absolutely remarkable what he's been doing this season. I think even Ancelotti said, I'm sort of quite surprised he's been that good. you've got to hand it to him. Peter, speaking of Everton strikers, did we enjoy Duncan Ferguson holding up the fourth official subs board, which apparently is a standard practice in COVID? But he did look a bit sinister, though, didn't he?
It looked like he'd taken the bull by the horns himself and just went, I'm putting him on.
Yeah.
You've used all your subs.
If you had three.
Give me that fucking board.
I didn't realise that was standard practice, but yeah, I think it was the fact it was Big Dunk holding it up. Yeah. I was like, oh my, what has happened to the fourth official?
Just the photo as well with Sigurdsson holding the back of his head. Yeah. Like, oh no.
Like he's just, get on there now. Just lashed in the back of his head with it.
It was a welcome win for Everton, though, as you've got to say. Because they've not been on a great run before the international break, of course. But, I mean, they would have expected something out of the game against Fulham, and they got it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, Fulham are rubbish.
But you're the only person who thinks that they might be all right this season.
Well, Pete does as well.
Yeah. Do you?
I think he's going to be all right.
I think they're going to get relegated.
No, okay.
But I think it less than I did at the start, where I just cast them off entirely.
No, there's definitely that. There's definitely that. I do agree. Whereas Andy Brassel said to me, he sat opposite me in this very studio and said, I don't know anybody who thinks it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to get relegated.
Well, I had West Brom and Fulham. Mm-hmm. I thought the start of the season they're going to go down. Yeah. I obviously still think that about
West Brom.
You're still
quite sure.
I still think that about Fulham, but it's more in Fulham's hands than I thought it would be.
I still think
in part because
Leeds.
Sheffield United have
when we upset the Leeds fans at the start of the season. Oh dear me. Oh no.
Gentlemen, talking of officials, have you seen that Mark Clattenburg's been talking?
He's
recently?
Been talking. He's been firing his mouth off, has he?
He's from the Northeast, isn't he? He's been talking. Apparently there's a referee's Christmas party. Now, it's not quite the season yet.
Get everyone cards.
that. I do like that.
Nice. That was a joke I was actually proud of, but I said it in a funny voice so people wouldn't assume I'm shit at jokes.
you kind
of... Have
was
the
a
courage
need,
of a conviction.
I was going to say, that was a need to avoid failure rather than a need to achieve, okay?
It's a sideways pass of a joke.
Mark Clattenburg was talking about the referee's Christmas
party.
Do
they get whistled? Drunk, Marcus.
Maybe they do, Peter. Maybe they do.
Do they play advantage?
What?
Come on, look, let me... Okay, I'll do the quotes. As I'm doing the quotes, think of something, all right? Don't hog it if you've... Yeah. So, as you said recently. Yes, Clattenburg on the referee's Christmas party. Every year we used to have one, but it was boring as fuck.
Aww.
How about that?
That's Did they
rude,
get pushed over by Paolo Di Canio?
Mm-hmm. it's all right. There's still a few more quotes. You've still got time. They weren't guys I would have a drink with, said Clattenburg. I made my bunch of mates in the north.
My bunch of mates.
You bunch of
Some
mates.
Grips.
You bunch of Clattenburg mates. And then I had the referees. But they wanted any bit of money. They were as tight as anything. Any bit of money. Is that copper? Are those coppers yours?
It's Monopoly. Yeah. I can't take that anyway,
Smouching the good name of referees.
He said he doesn't speak to many of them anymore, but it doesn't bother him because I've got my great friends outside of refereeing in life and in football.
Oh.
Are you one of his great friends?
Big talk.
He did mention Jose Mourinho, though. He said on Jose Mourinho, he was a nightmare when he came back from Real Madrid. He blames me for getting him the sack at Chelsea, but I would say it was more all the results before that. Fair play, Clattenburg, fair play. So the referee's Christmas party, gentlemen.
Do you not think those quotes are a bit unedifying for an adult to be mouthing off about, God, look at those nerds over there. No, I wasn't mates with them. No. I was out shagging. It just seems a bit like high school or secondary school bragging.
I wouldn't put them in my top six friends on MySpace, so...
They're waving to you. No, I don't know him.
I love a bit of Clattenburg. Remember that licky thing he did in the Champions League final, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he suddenly became a lizard. and David Icke was going, I told you! Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a quick break and then we'll talk about Jose Mourinho.
Wow. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
One Direction's Liam Payne was in the studio talking to Jackmate's Happy Hour about life as a global pop star. With untold stories about his time on The X Factor, life in the world's biggest boy band, and going solo, this one is not to miss.
I was part of this massive machine, and I knew my part in the machine very well. So I knew what I was doing every day. But then when that machine falls away, and you're in the world, and the world's just happening around, like, where do you fit?
You can catch the full episode on Spotify. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, on this week's Football Ramble Presents, Kate and Jim sat down with former Chelsea, Juventus and England striker and football legend Enya Luko to discuss her storied career and her autobiography, They Don't Teach This.
Whether it's racism, whether it's bullying, whether it's sexism, often these behaviours are silent. They're not always something that's said. It's a feeling, it's a set of behaviours by a group of people towards you that makes you feel incredibly isolated.
You can hear more from Enya Luko with Football Ramble Presents on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4-to-score this weekend. Entry to Betway's 4-to-score, of course, is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Leeds versus Arsenal. I picked Patrick Bamford, who should have opened the scoring, but it was a good save from the goalkeeper. So I was wrong, because it was 0-0. Game 2, Leicester away to Liverpool. Jim picked Jamie Vardy. Of course, it was Diogo Jota. Game 3, Burnley versus Crystal Palace is yet to happen. Andy picked Berechi Eze, and that's tonight, of course. And then Wolves versus Southampton, also tonight. Luke picked Raul Jimenez. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. So we got it wrong, gentlemen.
Takes a brave person to pick no score, I say, in the Premier League this season.
Jim did it once, I think, last season.
I think you got it right, yeah.
There we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so be it our Vince or Kate or Jules or Jim or Andy Luke or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
We've got an email here from Kyle Crawford. And it is addressed to Marcus.
Oh.
Marcus. Fuck off there, hey? Better drink Molson Canadian and enjoy it, you hoser. Mm. Oh, and you too, Luke. Fuck off your duster. Warmest regards. And sorry again, a Canadian. A Molson Canadian, by the way, is a beer.
Yeah.
And that email wasn't happy with you.
Yeah, clearly. They seem to be very upset with fact in Canada, don't they? About Ryan Reynolds, the Canadian-American. Of course. Yeah, I don't drink Molson Canadian. I don't drink beer at all, do I, Peter?
No, you don't. No. But if you did,
oh, it would be that
Molson.
It would
be as cold as the Colorado Rockies. It would definitely be south of the border.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I appreciate that from Kylie Crawford there. What else we got, Peter?
William Darby says, hello all. On Friday's show, Marcus mentioned the amount of work that non-league managers might have to do. It's one of the founders and original board members of United Football Club of Farnham. Was it Farnham? Yeah, the voice trying to understand
John Farnham,
it.
Farnham. Yeah.
Now, Wrecklesham FC, I can assure you that managers have to do pretty much everything. At the start of our first season, the three board members, including myself, lived together in a rented house in Guildford. The chairman was also the manager and the kit man and the groundsman.
Yep.
On days when I, the treasurer slash sub right winger, couldn't make training or games because of work, he would collect the money. On days when our other housemate, the club secretary slash sub centre back, couldn't make training, he would have to call players to find out where they were, etc. He was also a utility player who could and would, if necessary, play anywhere across the back four. Sounds very much like Jez Milner, doesn't it?
He does. Oh, Milner's definitely got non-league manager.
Massively,
yeah, there's a bit.
Fortunately, after a few weeks, we did persuade a friend of ours to look after the pitch. We couldn't pay him, but give him free training every week. Ooh, free training.
Free training?
Oh, cool. But everything else remained the same. In the free training. In the second season, we started a reserve team. The chairman became the reserves manager and stopped playing. However, I can only imagine how brutal that first season must have been. All the best and stay safe. Will in Beijing. Will.
Why?
Doing his free training out in Beijing.
Big Willy style.
Lovely.
In Beijing.
Mm,
oh, very enjoyable, Will. Appreciate that. Much better than that Canadian email, the first one. Marvellous stuff, gentlemen. Right, let's talk about Spurs and Mourinho and Kane and all that stuff. I mean, it was vintage Mourinho, wasn't it? Come on! It's exactly it, Peter. We've seen Guardiola and Mourinho go up against each other, but that Guardiola, with you can have your muggy little possession because we'll have all the goals. We will have all the goals. I mean, Vish, it was great stuff from Spurs, wasn't it?
I mean, he couldn't have planned it any better.
I know, it was textbook. Absolutely. But Mourinho's often derided for the style of football he plays. But I can remember watching Chelsea under Mourinho. There was, I think it was a League Cup final against Spurs. They won 2-0. Or even that Manchester United win against Ajax in the Europa League final. It was a bit like that. I understand that it's not brilliant to watch for the neutral and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a fan of that side, you know, in a big match like that, the way they play, they don't give any space, they don't give any kind of... they don't give much of a sniff for the opposition. Take your chances. And there is something to be admired about that. You know, you can be too sort of Barcelona school of thought purist about this, but that kind of performance, you've got to admire it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you scratch the itch of supporters who want more engaging football by having those kind of players doing the attacking for you. So you have someone like Harry Kane, you have someone like Heung-min Son, you also have Bergwijn, who had an excellent game as well, even though he, you know, I suppose a lot of his best work wasn't necessarily in the final third.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a plan laid out behind them, as it were, where everything kind of sorts itself out and everyone's on the same page, then I think you can, I don't want to say get away with it, but I think you can please more people than you'd assume would be pleased by what might be deemed by certainly Manchester City fans, certainly Pep Guardiola, as you know, curbing your enthusiasm going forward. When really it's just looking at a team, recognising that going toe-for-toe for them is probably not the right way to do it. This is the right way to do it.
Yeah, that quote sums it all up, really, when the journalist asked Mourinho how much possession Manchester City had, and Mourinho said they can take the ball home, I take the 3 points. Hey, there he is. He's back, isn't he, Pete? He's got, after that final whistle, he did that Mourinho thing where he was deadpan poker face and didn't give any emotion, and you had that look in his eye where you think to yourself, he's got the bit between his teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they go all the way and I hope they challenge them above the title. I just think that he's got an incredibly talented squad. And he hasn't always had that at mm-hmm. clubs, and he's had to buy and overpay for players. And I know, like, players like Heung-min Son and Harry Kane are obviously going to get the plaudits by the end of the season, because they are having and will continue to have, no doubt, injuries pending, no doubt, an excellent season. But I just think that, like, is the enforcer back in Højbjerg? Like,
oh, it is.
Just like, he was so instrumental in uh-huh. the other marquee performance against Manchester United. Was that last month? I think it was last month.
Before the international break, yeah.
Yeah, in that ridiculous performance. Like, he was incredible in that. And he just wants the... He's like Pac-Man going around a maze, just trying to eat the ball. He just wants the ball all the time. And I know I know Manchester City had a heck of a lot of possession, but for nothing, it seems, by the end of the match. But he just... constantly just mm-hmm. takes the ball off other players, and yeah. he's just busy and
he's a perfect Mourinho player.
Oh, he's fantastic. And even Kane has become that kind yeah. of same, kind of pulling back, being niggly, drawing fouls. He's just a perfect bastard of a player.
Like, he was Sky Sports Man of the Match, Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we watched England play Belgium and he was coming back to pick mm-hmm. up the ball, mm-hmm. less helpful, I think, in that performance. But mm-hmm. I think he just looked imperious. And yeah, he was worth a Man of the Match award.
Well, that's because when he comes deep for Spurs, he's got Son running ahead of him. Mm. Whereas that game against Belgium, you know, he didn't have Sterling anyone, yeah. or Rashford. You yeah. know? But Kane is you can see it, can't you? With his, Mourinho talked about it. He said, you know, I'm. What did he say? It feels good to be top, but maybe tomorrow we're second again. And honestly, that would not be a problem for me. I am just happy with the evolution. And it's true, this side has evolved. They're better than they were last season. There's no doubt about that. But again, to compare him to compare this side to, say, his Chelsea side, he wants that spine of his team. Eric Dier is a big player for him in the back line. You've got Ndombele, who looks more and more influential as the season goes on. And an amazing turnaround, what he got out of him, you know, the problems that were last season. You've got Højbjerg in there, you've got Son out there, you've got Kane, you've got that spine, you've got that core group of players. And Kane is that player in a slightly different sense, but he's like that Drogba kind of on the pitch. You know, with Mourinho wanted that general on the pitch, if you see yeah. what I mean, the player they look to, the player you can hang your hat on. You're always going to get 7 out of 10 at least out of that player. You can rely on him, all that kind of stuff. And Kane seems to fit the bill.
Yeah, one of the things that Kane does exceptionally well is that when he drops back, he also holds up the ball.
Yep.
You'd assume someone dropping that far back into midfield was to, I suppose, link to players, or maybe, you know, provide a bounce board for certain midfielders who want to, and allow, you know, we talked about the runners from out wide going further beyond him, but he also allows everyone, including defence, to actually set themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they retain the ball, or rather when they clear out to him and he's, you know, maybe on the halfway line, everyone has that sense of, right, he's going to hold onto the ball. We're yeah. either going to win a foul, we're either going to counter-attack.
Yeah.
We can just readdress everything.
Catch
now.
Your breath.
Yeah, and that as well, yeah. And he's just been excellent at that. I think another player who's going to be very useful for Mourinho, and has been very useful for Mourinho, especially as we see from the Amazon documentary, is Sissoko. Mm-hmm. Now, Sissoko was, I thought he was
You remember
brilliant.
Him, Peter?
Away.
But he was brilliant for allowing Aurier to go forward and covering for mm-hmm. him. He's someone who obviously is a big presence in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. He's clearly very enthusiastic and very well loved. And I think his energy in particular, and he just seems to... Mourinho does... He has his generals on the field and he's his generals in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. I think back to Materazzi when he was at Inter Milan, when he didn't play too many games.
Mm-hmm. How he involved Materazzi.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Even Ivanovic for a little part mm-hmm. of that when he was in his second spell at mm-hmm. Chelsea.
Dele Alli at Spurs.
Well, I said a couple of months ago that I wouldn't be surprised if Dele Alli makes a kind of like late season comeback into that Spurs side.
But you can see this though. You saw it at Chelsea and Real Madrid as well. He has the players where he thinks, right, I need you, and you. You're the core. I need you to respond. They are responding. You don't get a performance like that out of a team who are not playing for the manager and they're not listening to his every word and taking on the tactics and so on. So you've got that. You've got those players like Materazzi. I don't know if Spurs would have too many of them, but, you know, there'll be one or two players. I mean, Joe Hart maybe or something like that. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? And he's man enough to admit that he can be the man in the dressing room for Tottenham Hotspur. You know, if he got it wrong, my team talk was wrong. But you also have casualties from Mourinho. Well, that's far too strong a word. You also have those who don't make the cut. You know, you have those who are then surplus to requirements. those who, and all managers do that when they come in, but you have those who he really tries to either put his arm round, sometimes he can squeeze them a little bit too much, and sometimes he uses his methods to try and get a bit of a tune and prod them a bit. And Ndombele's responded the way he wants. Dele Alli hasn't. Now, there could be a number of reasons for this, but he could be that sort of high-profile player who is then sort of bombed out. Or, because it is Mourinho's way, or you're off, essentially.
Or he could get a bit of FOMO and think, actually, they've really got something.
But again, whatever Mourinho will
use. Is Ali in
the
WhatsApp group? Is Ali in that WhatsApp group?
I reckon he's muted it for 8 hours, and then he muted it for a week, and he's right, gone for a year. But I think he checks on it.
He's got either the WhatsApp group with Grealish et al.
Yes,
or he's got this. I just presume he's in the WhatsApp group. I'm not sure whether he is. Yeah. I can't remember. Uh-huh. Or he's got his Spurs side, definitely.
Yeah. I always worry there's a separate Football Ramble WhatsApp group where you all like talk about us new guys.
I'm not on that one.
So still here.
It could well be. Man City, they were struggling. They're very low down in the league.
I just think... I mean, I know De Bruyne's come back and it's all on him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's the captain. He's got to do everything. Uh-huh. He's gone a bit Lampard Gerrard, hasn't he? I've got to pull this bloody team up.
He's the groundsman, he's the kit man.
He's really a lower league manager. I've always said this. De Bruyne belongs in non-league football.
But he was taking pot shots. He was taking big larruping strikes from all over the place. They weren't even half chances.
That's why they had way more shots than Spurs.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they had 22 shots for Spurs, like 4 or 5. And it's like, again, 2 goals difference. Mm. That'll teach him for being so bloody good.
Yeah.
You're now relied upon by it for everything. But yeah, I mean, I know a win.
If you don't want to do the wash up, don't do it properly.
Exactly. I mean, I know a Man City win, they've got a game in hand on one or two other teams. You know, a win doesn't put them so far adrift, but it is odd to see them in the bottom half of the table at this stage.
Did you not watch that game and think between both boxes, they played some brilliant football?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was just like a gear lower than what they normally do. Well, the thing about the way City play, certainly to my mind, is that they move the ball so quickly and so perfectly that even when you're playing against a team as well organised as, say, Spurs were on the weekend, you just need the smallest gap to be able to thread through the perfect pass for then the person at the other end receiving that pass to do and make all the right decisions as well. Mm-hmm. And that was all just slightly off. And you could say that that was something to do with the fact that players aren't in tip-top form because they have been struggling. And then at the same time, you look at that and you think, I think Rodri's an excellent player. He's not quite Fernandinho. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Gabriel Jesus is an excellent player. He's not quite peak Sergio Aguero.
Yep.
And suddenly you can pick, and you're not even picking holes. You're just like, they were 9 out of 10 in that position and now they're 8 out of 10. Mm. And that makes a difference across the whole pitch.
But when Spurs are that airtight in defence though,
but they weren't really, were they?
Well,
there were a few chances.
Okay,
so City had a few openings.
Well,
there.
You're going to get a few openings, you know. But Spurs' defensive performance was impressive. But that's the difference. Because if you got Sergio Aguero on form, they would have scored probably.
Yeah, and so you just look at it and think maybe there is, you know, it's been talked about a lot. Miguel Delaney wrote a piece for us in the Independent about how the challenge for Guardiola is having his second peak, you know. In terms of like modern Premier League standards,
we've never seen a second peak from Guardiola.
No, not at all. But you know, Sir Alex Ferguson did it, and Arsene Wenger did it, and those are probably the only two you can name. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a tough ask. It's going to require a lot of reinvestment, really, because the reason that Ferguson was able to replenish his teams is by selling players and bringing new players in, because the message gets tired, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what they always say. That it's what happened to Spurs under Pochettino. It's what's happened to Man City now? They've decided to keep Guardiola. He's decided to stay on. So they've got to change some of those players, haven't they?
And it's what's happening at Newcastle under Steve Bruce. He needs a second peak because they're not doing it.
We should say as well that, like, there are 30, you know, Man City have 30 games to play. Mm-hmm. You know, Spurs have 29. Spurs are also playing, well, the next 5 games, they've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Crystal Palace, Liverpool and Leicester. Mm-hmm. They've lost Alderweireld. Kane, we've talked about being so integral to that team. If he's out, we saw how badly they struggled last year without them, even just trying to find a system that works without him.
Well, you're saying about Man City missing one or two of those players. I mean, obviously Fernandes, but Aguero, you know, who was there. I mean, that will be something for Man City fans to be hopeful. But you're right, if they miss out, if they lose Kane, you know.
So it's a big... I think we can only really start talking about them seriously as title contenders, specifically after that 5-game run, but maybe even just only in the new year. Once everyone's got through that, because as Pete said, people are going to get injured. Mm. More players are going to get injured. England's hopes are going to be in the gutter because they're going to ruin Kane.
I mean, yes, you say
Kane, I think Kane's only playing very well and dropping so deep because he's got a highly incentivized contract and he's just figured out that he makes more money by doing assists than he does goals.
Is he on an assist bonus?
Yeah, he will be on an assist bonus. So he's like,
He will be next to the contract, I'll tell you that. Well, good news, though, for other English strikers was that Danny Welbeck scored a lovely goal for Brighton. Wasn't that lovely?
Yeah,
come on!
Lovely.
Rolling back the years. I absolutely love Danny Welbeck. He's a lovely man, and he's a decent player. I mean, he's obviously been a bit hit and miss over the years, injuries and whatnot. But to see him racing away, and then that finish, oh yes, PT Donaldson.
I like him in that kit. I like him in that kit. I think it's a good club for him to be at. Mm. Enjoy it.
An assist from Adam Lallana as well. Is it too late to get them on the bus? People say the plane, the group stages of the Euros are at Wembley. We don't need a plane, we need a bus.
He's only 30. he's going to be 30, yeah.
Would you put Adam Lallana in the middle of a flat four in a 3-4-3?
I would, yeah. He can sit.
Exactly.
I'll go forward, whatever he wants to do, he can do that. The Welbeck thing was lovely because it was not just that moment, but the way he was, you know, fit into their system was...
He looked good.
All over the place. Yeah, I know we was it about a month ago before he signed for Brighton where we were like, where is he going to go? Yeah. What's his next move? Mm. And we were all quite fearful for him. But
yeah, it was a good game, this time. One. I mean, Aston Villa have had a great start to the season themselves. And Brighton, you know, a bit lower down the league, so this is a huge win for them. But Brighton, you know, they were decent. I mean, again, they didn't give Villa that much of a sneak. They had some chances, of course. You were going to get that. I mean, they're not Jose Mourinho Spurs fish at the end of the day. but a great win. And it left Dean Smith wondering what a penalty is, though. I don't know what a penalty is now. I mean, this is just running and running, isn't it? This sort of thing. It's a shame. But Tarek Lamptey was sent off, and how could you send off a man with that face, Peter?
he is adorable. On Instagram, he said, "Sorry about the end." And then I noticed that Jules Breach had replied, "Don't worry about it. I think it's the thing." Yeah. Second yellow was harsh.
This can happen in football.
Jules, arm round. Just go. Don't worry about it, Tarek.
She's a Mandalorian, and he's Baby Yoda.
Lovely.
Get on the Photoshop, somebody. Yeah, but his final balls are only going to get better, and he gives that team such impetus and speed and pace. What was he, 3 million? Like, that is going to look like an absolute bargain man this season.
You wonder if he's going to be one of those players where Chelsea fans will say, "Why did we let him go?"
Well, not with Reece James, though, would they?
That's true. Are they not?
If England didn't have such a good right back kind of situation at the moment, I think people would be shouting a little bit louder.
Squad. I was still thinking of Kevin De Bruyne.
I do want to talk about VAR, not Grealish saying VAR LMAO.
Yeah, he tweeted that, didn't he?
Lovely mechanical aid
operator
officials. But I want to talk about the television, like the little kind of like LCD screen that the referees look at now. It's at best 19 inches wide and diagonal, right?
Should it be like a big 55-incher?
Well, it could be, Marcus. Uh-huh. But I would say, do you remember like Nigel Farage watching the Queen's speech in the kitchen?
Peter.
And he's got like a little shitty telly on top of the microwave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how big the television is. It's pathetically small, right?
Got you voting for him, though. That's not true.
And, it doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't, does it?
but these little tiny little screens that the referee jams their head into, the little kind of shroud to have a look. The shameful referee shroud, as I call it. The arm that this television is mounted upon is like a tree trunk. Mm. If there's any kind of metaphor for the bloated, overwrought technological kind of application that just needed a little tripod with a like a VisaFix on the back. Like, it's that. I'll show you a picture of it, right?
Go on then, let's have a look. Right. But are you saying...
Look how big the telly is and how light the telly is. It's got a big, like, kind of, like... It's got a big sort of tree trunk, sort of metal base to it.
I think that's
right. It doesn't need to be that big.
No, it's solid.
Look at that one we got on the corner.
Yeah, that's perilous.
I put that together.
I know you did. I can tell that.
I didn't realise it.
It's needlessly overcomplicated for what is just an iPad.
Think about it. People, they might think to themselves, fans might chuck stuff at this. You know, or the wind might... You know, I don't know. I think it's got to have a firm base, Fish.
I didn't realise it looks so much like the robot from Short Circuit.
It does a bit as well.
It does look like Johnny Five, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It could crush a man, and yet it's just all it's doing is holding an iPad.
So what are you saying? Should they
just
down...
get a little one off Amazon like we did? So,
the Premier League,
just a waste of time.
Are you saying that they should downsize the base, or should
make
they
the television bigger?
Right. Okay. There
Thank
we
you.
Are. Right. But then
that could carry at least a 55er. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
It'd be great if it was...
Overcomplicating things.
Do you remember those TVs with the video player in it as well? They had to go and put it in. Scrubbed the right bit.
little jog shuttle.
Like Andy Gray in the studio years and years ago.
Yeah. What do we think of that Solly March reprieve, I suppose, that penalty?
Yeah. What did you think?
I kind of agreed with it, having been shown it enough, and I thought, you know what, I don't want any more of this in my life. Fine, take it away.
Well, it was just interesting. I thought that Michael Oliver overturned his initial decision, which is something we don't often see.
Mm. But whenever they go to the screen, they change whatever decision was made on the pitch. So
is that normally?
That's what I've seen, yeah.
Is that the normal course? I forget.
Even if they're going against their own decision, I've seen it was very, very weird. I thought the... How much of the ball do you need? Yeah. And
I know.
It's going to run and run.
Gentlemen, we're going to finish the show talking about interesting refereeing decisions that perhaps annoyed a lot of supporters. We go to the America. Yes, the United States of America, to be precise.
It was Canada's pants.
There you go. Canada's trousers. Mm. Or they do call trousers pants in that part of the world. You again correct, Peter.
Mm, thank you.
Orlando City penalty scenes against New York City FC in the playoffs. Of course, it was 1-1 quite early on. Nani scored a penalty in regular time. Anyway, it goes to penalty shootouts. Get to the penalties. And the Orlando keeper, Pedro Galese, he thought he'd won the penalty competition, in the words of Barry Davis, because New York City FC needed to score to stay in the shootout. He saved and ran off sort of celebrating. And then the game was pulled back, or stopped rather, because they looked and he'd taken his foot off the line to save the penalty. He jumped forward. Mm. He then got a second yellow card. I didn't think that was a bookable offence. Anyway, he got a second yellow card, so he got sent off. Is this right? The Orlando City manager ran down the kind of touchline. He'd run into the tunnel to sort of celebrate. He needed to be kind of fished out from the dressing room. And then it was like, no, you haven't won. So they're like, okay, this is a bit annoying. So they put on the sub keeper. And then he goes to go on, and it's like, no, you can't make a substitute during a penalty shootout.
But he was standing on the line when they realised that.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in goal. Yeah, sorry, you shouldn't be here. Yeah.
He's thinking, this is my big moment. So he is then taken out. So they put an outfield player in goal. It's the Argentinian defender Rodrigo Schlegel. And so he's in goal, and then they score. New York City FC score. Then Orlando City, they've got match point. They score that they've won the game. Mm. And the keeper saves that, and it's kind of like, oh, right, our outfield player in goal, Odd Rodrigo, is going to have to play his part, score, Orlando City score. And then he makes a really unconventional save. It's like, it's one of those ones where, you know, when if you play like five-a-side against someone who's not a proper keeper,
yeah,
and you like miss a few chances and you sort of say, oh, well, if it was a proper keeper, I would have scored then.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
I think that is applicable here.
It's one of those goals that's as wide as it is tall.
Yeah.
And he's just, clawing it.
He kind of just sort of, claws it away. And then he goes mad and celebrates as if they've won. And everyone goes, no, you've got to score another one.
They're not used to this, are they?
I think I had to sort of Google this about three times and watch about three separate highlights and articles to get the full picture. And I'm probably missing something
there. You do it on your kitchen telly. Farage.
I had to go into the lounge for this.
Yeah. They've started selling goalkeeper kits with Schlegel's name on the back.
Have they really?
Oh, love that.
Cash in, DVDs, the lot.
Like it.
Yeah, amazing. So the MLS playoffs are the place to be. Because San Jose Earthquakes, they were beaten by Sporting Kansas City 3-0 on penalties. Was what I saw, as those goals in injury time. And there's fans there as well. Yeah. What are we doing wasting our time in the Premier League?
Just a reminder, you know what helps us, Marcus? Yeah. Not only a post-ramble muscular rubdown by you, a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. It helps us a lot. It helps with visibility and notoriety. It helps more Liverpool fans to discover my oeuvre, for example.
Yes.
So they can get upset with me on Twitter. Get involved. Give us a five-star review on wherever you get your podcasts. You can write what you want. Just leave us a five-star review.
Yeah.
Call me a bellend, but give us five stars.
How much... What would you give my massages? How would you review them? How many stars?
Excellent. They're always excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Love your massages.
Five?
Healing fingers.
Five stars?
Yeah, five stars.
Okay, great. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Sorry for Vish. You guys work together under after lockdown, so like obviously we can't be molesting each other in the studio.
That's the only reason I signed up.
Exactly, yeah. Then there's a pandemic. It's annoying, isn't it? There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for Tushina Hantaraja.
Thank you very much, Marcus Speller.
Thank you very much, Peter Donaldson.
Pete Bearer, thank you.
And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in tomorrow for Jules, Luke and Jim.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more... And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.